Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm certainly glad I didn't try to put a jacket on today, because when I asked where the meeting room was, I was told it was at the back of the convention center. It was Seaside, not Sicilian. So I got there on my crutches, and then I got out to this other hotel here, so I've got my exercise for the morning, and I have still had to go back to my car. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be here, and I would like to share with you some practical economic measures for assessing organic farm conservation. I am chair of the International Organic Inspector Association. I also used to farm years ago, and I did get to meet a lot of organic farmers. I also do conservation plans to NRCS, so I get to work with conventional farmers too. And the National Organic Standards Board last week at their meeting in Kentucky, where I was, and giving a presentation, tell them that maybe not get so excited about all the things we can do to assess farm practices on organically, which may become apparent from my talk. Organic conservation per the National Organic Program is that conservation practices must be in place and implemented for each organic crop and or livestock farm. Now this is a gorgeous picture, if you like to gorgeous pictures, of a rut in a soybean field. This happens to be on an organic farm in one of the eastern states that the organics program, because of the political correctness of the farm, they let slide by. So that is a black mark on the program to have that happen. But as far as the picture, I mean, you can't find much better one than that. So how do we, as organic inspectors, assess those farms? And how do the NRCS personnel or the extension staff check those economic measures that contribute to a required conservation program? Well, first of all, we do, as an inspector, we come and do a farm walk-around or drive around if it's 35,000 acres, as some of them are. We don't do a lot of walking, but we do go out and stop once in a while and kick dirt with it and see what the ground is like. Review the maps, and hopefully we get maps of good quality. And then we discuss the farm organic systems plan with the farmer. And it's amazing when you drive around for 40 minutes in a pickup truck with a farmer, if you know how to do open-ended questions, what he will tell you, that's not an assistant plan. And so you can learn a lot from just listening if you're not taking notes. I learned that when I was in Russia. I've been there 10 times. If you take notes, people start quit talking. If you don't take notes, they keep talking. So if you're an extension, keep that in mind. So first, of course, are the visual observations. And if we see a gully washer, like the one that I pictured right there, that's pretty obvious. Sometimes that's on the far side of the field, and so we have to make sure we get to where it is, and I'll get to that in a minute. And then, of course, there could be some nicer things like windbreaks, butterflies, bees swarming around, grass waterways, and wetland areas, which, of course, are on the positive side of observations. And all those things can be observed by someone with minimal amount of training and sensitivity relative to what to look for as you go across the farm. And then, of course, we must not forget that the organic farm is required to manage the soil and animal materials to improve soil organic matter without contaminating soil and water. That mowed strip between those two fields is a buffer. And it's interesting when you do some training of NRCS people, and I always ask them, could you define a buffer? And they look at me like, we're going to listen to this guy for 45 minutes, and he's trying to have us define that buffer for them. Now, doing that for a reason, a buffer for an organic, buffer for an NRCS person is someone you put at the edge of the field to make sure that nothing leaves the farm, the field, and go into the stream. On the other hand, the buffer on the edge of the organic farm is something we have there to try to keep the wind drift and or the run-on from the conventional farm to the, so it's same word, but one is to keep it out, the other one is to keep it in. Which is interesting. And then, of course, there's some simple on-site measures one can do. that can administer it by minimally trained persons, FSA, NRCS, NOTSP, technical service providers. I'm one of those who've been there since the program started. If we can receive a map with HEL, or highly erodible land indications, is very helpful, because that far side of the field may be the one where the slope is, and you may have to figure out how to get around there, not just go up to the gate and say, oh, this field looks nice. But the HEL land map is really helpful. And then, of course, the permanent pasture, cover crops, is needed. It's required for NOP. It seems to become more popular with conventional farmers to do cover cropping, too. Then, of course, there's support services for farmland conservation practices to NRCS and or to Land Grant University Extension. So there are lots of NRCS conservation practices available. However, one has to walk in as a farmer to ask for it. They don't come out to talk to you. Lots of extension service available still, some states more, other states. And then, of course, there's the extension service has this wonderful e-organic, which has lots of webinars. And NRCS also has organic webinars that's available nowadays that are very helpful. And they say they're free. I'd rather say they're complimentary, because somebody did pay for them through some program. And then lastly, there's some more sophisticated analyses that one can use to measure what's going on. For example, NRCS likes the Russell II soil loss equation that determines the estimated annual soil loss tons per acre when soil type, crop rotation, farm management is all provided and then put into the computer and come out with. Russell II analysis on a corn, soybean, wheat crop can often be 15 to 20 tons of soil loss per acre. However, Russell 2 on a corn, soybean, wheat rotation with cover crops will run between 2 to 4 tons per acre. So cover crops really reduces greatly the amount of water, wind, erosion that takes place on a farm. And this are taken identical farm size, slope, etc. So it's comparing apple to apple. Another reason for using cover crops, obviously. And then having soil loss data is available is quite useful for a good crop rotation interspersed with required cover crops. I've shown 5 to 8 tons times lowest tons per acre annual loss. However, unless the organic farmer either asks for NRCS assistance or he or she is a CAFO, they do not have Russell II data available, because they have to ask for it. And of course, and my little detour through the exhibit hall, obviously I need to go back and gather more data on what's available now than what I tried to do in the literature, because there are lots of companies out there trying to sell you some new tools for crop measurement that are more sophisticated than Russell II and or just observations. But one of the ones that I had observed was the new geospatial agriculture management and crop assessment framework. The tools that model make estimates of yield and growth, of plant growth, based on soil, water, and or land use. And of course, the discussion often comes up, so what does pink mean on your slide versus pink on somebody else's slide? And that's still the ongoing discussion. But there are some new tools that we can do better with. So in summary, I've shared some economic measures to assess organic farm conservation plan. Some are rather practical and observational, and some we can use. We have to have good maps with good soil indications, and we can use involved soil loss equations, and then, of course, the more sophisticated geospatial models. But again, all these can be used by simply trained organic inspectors to use better tools that are available to the NRCS. So thank you very much. And the reason I put this picture in here was so you could see I used to have nice hair that with a nice part and laid down, and now I have this wild looking hair. I'm currently going to bone marrow cancer treatments, which doesn't keep me down, because I get on an airplane 2 hours after I get three treatments and go places. But it has affected my loss of hair and now my regrowth of crazy living there. So I just want to know, it's a temporary thing. My haircutter, the lady tells me that it'll get better later. So thank you very much. I'm not quite sure whether this session was in here with extension rather than the organic session, but I'm pleased that you stayed and listened to me. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer. And if not, have a holy break. Thank you.